Calvary Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
So here we are. We're continuing on this series that we've been preaching now for about 8 weeks on the miracles of Jesus. And if you're interested in seeing and watching and reading and knowing and learning and hearing about these great miracles, you can always check us out online, horepnola.com. There are all of our podcasts are there. You can listen to the sermons. You can react to them and write us, text us, let us know. And if you're watching online, you know, we love to have you in our presence, like we've said. But even if you're online, we bless you and we hope that everything is well over there. But here we are looking at Jesus' miracles. We've seen miracles of all kinds. And today we're going to look at a miracle that it's pretty famous. It's so famous that all four gospel accounts account for this miracle. This miracle was so great that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John wrote about it. I mean, if you would have written a gospel, you probably would have written about it too, because it was so awesome. We're talking about Jesus feeding the multitudes. Jesus feeding about 5,000 people. I think it was more than that, because there's something tricky about things and how they were done in Jesus' time. Normally, when things were counted, or census and people were counted, the males were counted. Not that the women and the children didn't count, but they were counted by the men that they were there. And if that is the case with this, it says that Jesus fed 5,000. If that's the case, they should have been probably about 14,000, thinking of all the women and children that these guys might have had, right? So it could have been a lot greater than we can think, but the Bible says 5,000. I'm going with 5,000, but who knows? But at least we know there's a bunch of people. It's hard to feed 10 people, especially nowadays with the prices of food. But yet, let's see what happened. But I'm going to ask you a question to start. What if you heard that there's a certain church and a pastor in the area of Baton Rouge where things are miraculously happening? What if you heard that in Baton Rouge there's this church and the pastor preaches, and at the end of the sermon, people are healed with terminal illnesses. The lame can walk and the blind can see and the deaf can hear and the mute can even sing. What if you heard that that was happening on every Sunday? I'd probably have an empty church. So guys, don't go anywhere. Please stick around for a minute. This is just an illustration. Some of you are already thinking about how much is in your tank to make it over there. But I want you, would you be curious? I mean, I'm telling you, I'd be curious too. I'd be like, let's get out of here. Let's go to Baton Rouge. I'd be curious myself, right? But then you see, you go, and after you go to Baton Rouge and you see this, man, this is really happening. This is really awesome. I mean, miracles are happening to the likes we've never seen. So, wait a second. You hear next Sunday they're moving to Houston. Let's pack up the bags. I'm a Texan now. I'm going. You know, we'd probably be following these kind of things, and people do. And that's amazing. Would you go to Baton Rouge and go to Houston, or would you stay here in Gretna? I don't know. Would you need a new pastor because I'm in Houston? I don't know. You see, but these things are pretty attractive, right? Now, I want you to think about this, because you know, most of us will be thinking, hey, there's no time to stop. We got to follow this. I mean, it's Jesus performing miracles. If we stop at a gas station, you get a bag of Cheetos and a Coke and gas and we go. We don't have time to stop at Cracker Barrel. We just got to go, right? And you just continue following these things. And that's exactly what was happening. And we might be even critical about this and say, well, people will follow any trend out there. People will follow. You see, the stadiums get filled when some miraculous healer comes to town and they paid buku money to get into these stadiums and stuff. And you know what? If it's Jesus working, let it happen. Amen? You see, the Apostle Paul speaks in Philippians. He says that some preach Christ out of envy. Some preach Christ out of personal gain. Some preach Christ for whatever reason. And he says, I don't care as long as Christ is preached. That's their problem. Imagine the Apostle Paul saying, you know what? The important thing is the Christ being preached, and Christ will judge every preacher, including me, of course, and everyone. He knows what he's doing. But I want to provoke your curiosity, because there's a few things that I want us to see in particular about the people that were involved in this miracle with Jesus. Many people were looking to touch Jesus, to be close to Jesus, to follow Jesus. For whatever reason, they might have had something extraordinary happening in their lives, or they might have just been curious, or for somebody else. But it provoked people to follow Jesus because of his miracles. Now, this is the miracle of the 5,000 being fed by Jesus. Was pretty big, right? And the great multitudes are following. They're listening to his teaching and all that stuff. And this occasion, in particular, I want you to take note. I know that we're not going to read the whole chapter 5 and all that, but here's the deal: if you read all four accounts in Luke, Mark, Matthew, and John, you'll notice that there are some details that are in one that are not in the other. Remember, I've told you before, this is the same story told from four different people with four different perspectives, four different observations. So they might miss a detail here, or the other one puts it on. But when we put it together, we see that Jesus many times retreated to rest with his disciples. He just needed some downtime, needed some alone time. And apparently, this is what's happening here. Jesus is trying to get some downtime with his disciples, but people just keep finding him. And he's just trying to get away, maybe. But Jesus had so much compassion. I mean, he is love. He's not just, he likes to love, or he is capable of loving. No, he is love. His love is personified in Christ Jesus. The source of love is Jesus. So in many occasions, his compassion drove him to quit his rest so that he could minister to the needs of many instead of ministering to his own needs. That's the heart of a servant right there, and that's Jesus. But let's look at the account and see what happens in John chapter 6. And I want you to follow with me in your Bible, or you have it in the screen and you can follow along with me. I'm reading out of the New American Standard Bible. If you have another translation, don't be spooked. It's okay. All right? So, after these things, meaning, you know, Jesus coming and trying to get some rest and things like that, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, or Tiberias. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs which he was performing on those who were sick. Then Jesus went up on the mountain. You see that? And there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near. Therefore Jesus, lifting up his eyes and seeing that a large crowd was coming to him, said to Philip. Any Philips in here? Because I'm about to test your faith. Check this out. Where are you to buy bread so that these may eat? He asked Philip. This he was saying to test him, for he himself knew what he was intending to do. Now, Philip, here we go. He answered him. 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for everyone to receive just a little. One of his disciples, Andrew. Any Andrews in here? Okay. Andrew was the little brother, Peter's little brother. He's actually the one who brought Peter to Jesus. And check this out. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are these for so many people?" That's weird that he would say that, right? And then Jesus said, any Jesus in here? Trust me. In the Spanish service, we have a bunch named Jesus. You know, it's a common name in Spanish. It was a common name, actually, in the Jewish community, so it's okay. "Have the people sit down," Jesus said. Now, there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. You see that? The men sat down in number about 5,000. So it's probably just like buku, more people in there, right? But that's okay. Jesus then took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed to those who were seated, likewise also of the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up all the leftover fragments so that nothing will be lost." So they gathered him up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Father, what a wonderful miracle, what a wonderful world. Father, we pray this word would go deep into our hearts and minds and give us conviction that we may believe, that our faith may be strengthened, that we may grow. Father, that those who need you may find you because you have made yourself available today. Father, we praise you. We give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is amazing, right? Isn't it great? So, like I said, this is recorded everywhere. Now, when you look at the answers to these life problem of there's not enough food, we can see a few things. Number one, and this is not in your outline. This is just as a preamble to what we're going to do today. But you see, I want you to look at the solutions to the problems. You see, the disciples suggested that Jesus send the people away. When you look at Mark, the same story, the disciples are like, oh, Jesus, you need to send these people away. It's kind of getting dark. It's kind of getting late. They're going to be walking a lot. They're tired. They're hungry. They need to go home, right? And that's one solution. Jesus knew that they were hungry. Jesus knew that they could faint on the way home, that it was hard walking home, and it was getting dark. It was dangerous. You see, there's no time to travel, and Jesus knew that. Of course, the disciples also knew that. So one suggestion would have been, hey, send them home. Number two, another suggestion. We see it in Philip. Now, Philip says, guess what? Not even 200 denarii would be enough to give everybody a little morsel of bread. It's just not enough. So no wonder why they were trying to keep the crowds away and trying to send them away to go home. Just simply not enough. Now, Andrew has another answer. Andrew found a little boy. How did this boy came about? I don't know how he come about, but guess what? He had a little small lunchbox, and in his lunchbox, he had 5 little loaves and some fish, 2 little fish. It's probably sardines or something like that. You know, little fish, we're not talking about, you know, a hog's fish. You know, if you ever eaten one of those, you need to come to Puerto Rico with me and eat a big one like that. Yeah, it's amazing. Oh, no, you can go to your own place and eat it. But you see, we're talking about sardines, little fish, 2 little fish and 5 little pieces of bread, right? And once again, you see Andrew bringing something or someone to Jesus. Andrew brought Peter. Now he brings this little lad. That's amazing. We don't know how he met him. We don't know if he knew him or not or what. But can you imagine Andrew saying, hey, kid, what you got in that little lunchbox? By the way, let me have it. I'm giving it to him. Ooh, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what I would have done as a kid. I probably would have ran home to daddy, said, hey, this kid took my lunch. You need to come over and punch him. Did you ever do that? I don't know. But you see, Andrew does not have a prominent place in the Gospels. When you look at Andrew, you don't see a lot about him. But there's 2 things you see, or at least one. He would be bringing people to Jesus all the time, apparently. So he does that, right? He was like a people person, maybe. And the 4th solution, you see, come to our Lord and have him grant us a solution to the problem. He took the little boy's lunch. He blessed it. He thanked God for it. He handed it to his disciples, and they in turn handed it to the people, and everybody ate. See, that's the solution right there. If you ever want to bring a solution to any problem that you need to, that's probably the first choice you need to take, yeah? Trust Jesus, come to him, and give him what you got. If you want, we can say amen, and we can go watch the game because I done preached. But no, we're not going to do that. You know me, right? So when we leave this place, what I want you to take with you is that you would have an increased faith in God's provision, in God's work, in God's care. That I want you to find a reason to worship and to praise him and to thank him because he's done what he's done and he's doing what he's doing and he will do anything you need for yourself and you don't have to worry. He is our provider. Not only that, I want you to be renewed in your desire to be generous like your God as you go out there and be willing to give up your lunch. All right, so let's go. Let's talk about these 3, at least the 3 people that are involved here, or the 3 answers out of the 4 that we've seen. When we look at the first few verses, we can see that God will test our faith. First of all, he will test your faith. And he tested the faith of Philip. When he asked Philip, where can we go buy so much bread for these people? And Philip was like, not even 200 denarii would be enough to feed them a little slice of bread each. And it says that Jesus knew exactly what he was going to do, and he was testing Philip. Guess what? You can call yourself Philip right now, because I know God is testing you and he's testing me. And he will do that throughout because he wants to see your faith grow. Unfortunately, this is a picture of faith failing. Faith failing. You see, he will test your faith. He's going to do that. He asked Philip, the idea of testing your faith is very simple. You either have faith that will lead to results, or you will have little faith that leads to growth, or no faith that leads to disappointment. You know, you could be at any level of faith. You could be a person of a lot of faith and you'll see results. You could be a person of little faith and your faith needs to grow. Or you could be a person of no faith and you're disappointed. You see, you could be in any of the camps. Jesus can still work with you. He didn't tell Philip, oh, you little faith. Oh, no, you ain't got no faith. You think money solves a problem? Get out of here. He didn't do that to Philip. But he knew exactly what Philip was talking about. Philip was talking about solving situations with your own money, with your own strength, with your own work and the things of this world. Simple as that. You see, not even 200 denarii. You know what 200 denarii was? 200 days of salary. Now, let's put that into perspective for us today. If 200 denarii is 200 days paid of work, let's just say nowadays you make 200 bucks a day. Some of you are like, I wish. Some of you are like, I better not say how much I make because I'm going to make them feel bad. But 200 bucks, 200 bucks. You see, that's $1,000 a week. If you're not making $1,000 a week around here, you may be in a very difficult predicament, right? Or not. But maybe that's why you work and your spouse works in order to make it to that. But let's just say 200 bucks a day. You know how much money that was to feed 5,000 people? $40,000. 40 grand. Now, that's a lot of money in today's day. Anybody carrying that in their wallet? Because apparently, it looks like Philip was like, hey, bro, let me show you. Not even 200. Was he carrying that much money? I'm just kidding, right? Maybe not. Maybe he wasn't looking at his wallet, but he was thinking wallet. You know what? Even if I had 40 grand right now sitting in my pocket, I couldn't feed those 5,000 people. Jesus, this is impossible. Didn't we just tell you to send them home? That's what it says in Mark. But here we go. Where are we going to get that money? This is not enough. You see, I find people all the time, my friends. I see people even at the door, at the threshold of this church, that talk to me and say, Pastor, forgive me. I haven't been around a lot. And I'm like, that's okay. You don't have to give me an excuse. It's fine. Don't worry. But I'm glad you're here. And they say, well, you know, somebody's got to work, you know, and things are tough. And I got to work. And I got to work. And I hear so many people. I mean, I am also guilty. Because it seems like all conversations that we have around is like, man, that meat is expensive at Walmart. You can't grill a steak nowadays. You got to settle for ground meat. Oh, man, everything's like $400 when I used to spend $200. Anybody talking like that around here? Yeah, I must be the only one. We all see the situation. We all complain. We all think about it. We say it's not enough. Right? But you see, it is enough when you have God as your provider. It is enough when the little bit you got, it's placed in Jesus' hand. But I'm talking about the kid now, and I don't want to get to that till the end. So I'm talking about Philip here. You see, a lot of times we think that money is the solution to our problems. That's why we work so hard, don't we? See, money is not the answer to your problems. You see that all the time. You see that all the time. And then you go to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. And you see Paul writing from a prison where he's got nothing. And he's got to wait for people to send him stuff to prison saying, and my God will supply all of whose needs?
He's not even thinking about himself. He's thinking about them. He's saying, God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. What an amazing thing. Paul is saying, you know what? I'm not worried about my needs. And if you're worried, I want you not to be worried because God's got it. Jesus, he can supply. So maybe if we are in a state of mind of like the disciples walking with Jesus and we're still taking steps of uncertainty, then we need to start changing our stride and start stepping into certainty and faith in Christ. We can walk in faith. God's not going to leave you. God's not going to forsake you. Sometimes we think, well, I'm lacking. Yeah, maybe you're lacking a $300 purse. Maybe you're lacking a brand new car. Maybe you're lacking a big house in the good neighborhood. But those are wants, not needs. You think about it? We're working so hard for our wants that we forget who provides our needs. This is amazing what we're doing. It's just not right. You see, maybe you think, hey, I can't go to a restaurant on Sundays after church. You know, okay, but that doesn't mean you're not eating. Go home and make your sandwich, even if it's a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Right, Ed? If you ever invite Ed for a lunch or dinner, don't worry. Don't spend no money on him. Just give him a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. That's the happiest man on earth. He cheap like that. Right, Ed? I love you, man. I got your lunch today, bro. It's amazing, you see? He's supplied. He's happy. He's content. All right. You may get a loaf of bread and a jar of peanut butter and jelly just so you can have more than enough to share. But you see, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, this is Peter speaking. He says, in this you greatly rejoice. Now, let me explain what in this means, the this that he's talking about. He's talking about in this, in being born again in Christ Jesus. He's talking about the hope of the resurrection. He's talking about the inheritance in Christ. He's talking about the protection of God through your faith. How do I know these four things? Because I read the first part of the chapter before I give you this. That's all, okay? That's all that he's talking. He's talking about, you better be thankful for this. You need to hang on to this. You have this great and rejoice about this. You've been saved. You've been redeemed. You've been made new. You are provided. You got it all. And then he says, even though now, for a little while, if necessary, do you think it's necessary? I think it is. You have been distressed by various trials so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You're going to be tried. You're going to be tested. You're going to go through suffering. You're going to have some bad days. But guess what? The day is coming when it all will be fulfilled and God will make it right for you. He is that good. The day of Christ is coming. You don't need to worry. Just put it all in his hands. Jesus does not need your solution. Did you know that? How many of you like giving God solutions? Oh, I'm crazy about thinking about solutions. I want to give them all to God. Hey, God, why don't you do this? Hey, God, I think we should do this. Oh, God, maybe you should do that. But guess what? He just needs your faith in his solutions. That's what he needs. That's what he wants. No, that's what he wants. That's what we need. He doesn't need anything. Why? Because he is in control. Did you know that? Maybe you can write that on your paper and go home. God is in control. And if we believe that, if you truly take that to heart, maybe things will change around here. Jesus asked Philip the question about buying bread, not because he wanted a solution. I want you to think about that. Because he asked Philip, he says, hey, where can we get some bread for all these people? What do you think? And we may be thinking, hey, he's given Philip the opportunity to give him a solution. See, God's not asking you or I or Philip for a solution. What he is asking is, you know what? Believe me, give me some faith. Just have some faith and I have the solution. Nothing caught Jesus off guard, you know. He wasn't concerned. He was in control. So remember that. Now, that was Philip. But let's move on to Andrew. Because Andrew, now, he's got a little bit more faith. You see, the test of faith in Andrew, maybe it's uncertain. But apparently, he was getting there. If you look at verse 9, it says, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are these for so many people? You see that? Andrew's saying, hey, we got something, but it may not be enough. Now, I wonder.
I want you to think of this scenario. Use your imagination with me. You know me. I like to use my imagination. Sometimes I go wild with it. But I want you to think of Andrew. Jesus just asked Philip, where should we buy all this bread for all these people? Where can we do that? And Philip is like, something wrong here, Jesus, because there ain't no way we can buy that. That's a lot of money. And then Andrew says, hey, there's a little lunchbox. Was he being sarcastic? Was he being dumb? Was he being playful? Was he serious? A little lunchbox for 5,000 people? I don't know why Andrew did that, honestly. I don't know what kind of attitude Andrew had. But let me ask you, would you have dared done the same thing as Andrew did? Anyone? No Andrews in here? Would you have said, hey, Jesus, hey, take this lunchbox. Go ahead and feed them all, yeah. I'd have been away from that lunchbox like a mile away. Wouldn't have touched it with a 10-foot pole. No way. But why did Andrew do that? You see, Jesus knew exactly what he was doing here. Maybe Andrew didn't. Maybe you don't. Maybe I don't. But Jesus knows. And we may not know what we're doing or how to do it, but Jesus does. That's the thing. It just made me think. Jesus knew the need. He knew that people were hungry. They were tired. He knew that they would be, you know, eating that bread if he had it, if they had it, you see. And he also knew what the child had. He knew exactly what was in the lunchbox. He knew exactly who this child was. He knew everything. He knew the disciples. He knew the multitude. He knew everything. And let me tell you, Jesus knows everything that happens to you. Jesus knows everything that's going on with you. He knows. And he's in control. He knows exactly what you need, and he knows exactly what to do with your need, and he knows exactly what to do with you and me. Whew. That's some relief. But what's Jesus' response? I want you to think of Jesus' response to Andrew in verse 10. Have the people sit down. Now there was so much grass in the place, so the men sat down in numbers of 5,000. Can you imagine you coming to Jesus and say, hey, here's a lunchbox, and Jesus saying, hey, okay, everybody sit down. Oh, no, what did I just do? I'm thinking like Andrew, I would be scared. I'm like, this little game is not playing well. I don't know what happened here. You see, but Jesus invites them to recline. I want you to understand the concept here. They didn't use chairs like we do. I mean, you go to a restaurant today, and the first thing they do is have a seat. And that's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus was like the host here. Have a seat. The good thing is that he can be the host, the chef, the waiter, and everything. And he would wash his dishes. And he'll pack your to-go and send you on. But here's Jesus saying, you read it here, and it's our modern language maybe doesn't catch this, but he says, have everybody sit down. What Jesus says is literally, have everybody recline. Why is this important? And this is very important. And in some cultures, you know, we have Rocky here from India, and maybe some parts of India, people like to eat while reclining, right? Laying down on a big mat, and everybody, all the food, and everybody's just, going everywhere. It's part of some people's culture. Well, that was the culture in Jesus' time. If you went to somebody's house, and they said, recline, oh, yeah, we're going to eat. So people knew when Jesus told the disciples, tell everybody to recline, they knew exactly what was coming. We're in the buffet line, baby. Something's going to happen here. We're fitting to eat. Yeah, that's exactly what's happening. That's his response. Have everybody recline. And when somebody tells you, when you get to somebody's house or you go to a restaurant and they tell you, you know, you go over, you see Ruby over there. Ruby says, have a seat. Oh, you know she's going to take care of you the rest of the time. You just have to sit and wait, right? You just sit there. Ruby take care of you. And if you haven't been there, go. She'll take care of you. Yeah. Hey, I get something for this, a little advertisement, right? I want you to know, you go to a restaurant, and when you sit, you do nothing else. You do nothing else. You wait, you're served. All you do is eat. I want you to know, with God, you can be still and know that He is God. You can sit, you can recline, and you can let Him do the work. He will serve you. He will provide for you. He does that. Oh my God, all these people. And then, to make it even more wonderful, this miracle, not only everybody ate to their heart's content, they stuffed themselves and there were still 12 baskets left over. Jesus took the little lunchbox of this kid and turned it into a buffet in likes not of a Chinese buffet. Even better, you go to the buffet and you eat to your heart's content. And I know that sometimes the waiters and waitresses there kind of give you hints, you know, like bring you the check real quick and things like that. Jesus doesn't do that. But not only that, you go to a buffet, when you're finished, you're gone. You don't take nothing with you. You can't. Once you finish, you're done. You eat everything you can, and then you go. With Jesus, oh, man, I always joke around, bring the aluminum foil, because He's finna give you a to-go plate. We got 12 baskets left over, baby. Imagine this kid coming home. Can you imagine? Like the little boy coming home. Mama, I brought you something from the party. They gave you a to-go plate. To-go plate? Where were you, child? I gave you a little lunchbox to go to school. Never mind school. I went to a party. Well, there was a teacher there, and I was learning, too, anyway. But here I am, Mama. I brought some for you. I just can't fathom that. Right? But we're talking about the kid, and we were supposed to be talking about Andrew. So let's do something. Let's just turn to the kid and finish this thing up. The test of faith now turns into a sacrifice. First, it was a fail. Then, a little uncertain. And now, sacrifice. Wow, let's look at the results here. When we look at in verse 10, we see Jesus telling him to sit down. And then in verse 11, it says, Jesus then took the loaves, and having given thanks, He distributed to those who were seated or reclined. Likewise, also of the fish, as much as they wanted. You see that? You want more? You get more. Wow. And when they filled, they were filled. They were done, stuffed. Then He told the disciples, gather the leftover so that nothing will be lost. Right? What an amazing thing. So I want us to think. We need to have childlike faith. Right? Isn't that what we're called to? Jesus said you need to have faith like this, like the children. How do children do faith? They just believe. They trust you. They don't worry about going to work. They don't worry about where the thing's coming from. They just know they open the fridge and bam, it's there. They go to the kitchen, the meal's ready. They sit down to eat, there's always a plate. You know, I know that some people go through some certain times of need and difficulty with food and stuff like that. I understand that. But I want us to think in our own context. Man, we haven't been provided. We have been blessed. That we have so much. You see, just 5 little loaves. Basically, let's just say 5 slices of bread. Anybody? Okay? Would that be enough? You see, you don't hear the child complaining, at least, that he lost his lunch. And in the other accounts, you see the child offering his lunch. In this account, we see Andrew taking it from the kid. But it doesn't give us specifics. But in some of the other accounts, says that the child came up and said, here, I have this. Wow. This is what I have. You see, it doesn't say that the disciples begged him for his lunch. It doesn't say that they insisted. It doesn't say that they promised him, hey, you give us that little lunchbox, you go home with a basket. None of that. The kid just simply trusted and gave it. You see, what you put in God's hands is multiplied. Distribute and enjoyed. Wow. Anything you place in your life at the hands of Jesus will be blessed. It will be distributed and you can enjoy it. Amen? Anything you do. See, Jesus took it and He blessed it and then He gave it. Now, a little side note here. This is just a little lanyard. Notice that Jesus takes it and He gives thanks. And we're in a season of Thanksgiving here, so don't be forgetting that. It's just a little lanyard. Be thankful for what you got, even if it's just a little lunchbox. Even if you don't have 12 baskets extra to give away, just give thanks for what you got. Anyway, that was lanyap, like I told you. See, Jesus took it, he blessed it, and he gave it. So now this little boy's meal turns into a feast, more than enough for everybody. And God has a tendency to do things like that. I don't know if you remember some of the stories in the Bible, but you look at a man who was old, his wife who was old, they were barren, they couldn't have children, and God made a whole people out of them, Abraham and Sarah. That's what Jesus does. With something little, he can do something big. That's what God does. He did it with Abraham and Sarah, who had no kids. And then he created a whole nation, a whole people group. It's amazing. You see, when you see Jesus and you see God working, you see the Holy Spirit working, in a small group of 12 people that Jesus gathered, they turned into 120 into a room. They started praying, and next thing you know, 3,000 people got added, and another 2,000 later, and next thing you know, there's millions and millions and millions of people who now we say the church. See, with something small, God did something great, and he's still doing it. God is about multiplying anything that you put in his hands. He can do it. He will do it. But we just got to place it. You see, the boy handed his meals to the disciples. He says, okay, you go ahead and take it. I wonder if this kid thought, you know what, well, I guess this is not going to be enough. You know, kids are not, I mean, they can catch stuff. He probably said, well, you know what? I have this. I can give you this. I mean, it may not be enough. I know it's not going to be enough, but guess what? I'm willing to give it. And some people don't think that the little bit that they can give means a lot to God, as long as you do it with the right heart. You see, and sometimes you may think somebody is giving a little and they're actually giving so much more than you because that's all they got. And he gave all he had. Was the boy hungry? Probably was. That's why he was carrying a lunchbox, you see? Because he was probably hungry. Does the boy have any doubts about how he is going to eat? Maybe, maybe not. You see, but the boy maybe wondered, how is this going to be done? I don't know, but I'm willing to give. I want you to have that same attitude with God. Maybe you don't know how God's going to do it, but you're willing to give it for him to do it. Amen? That's what we need to do. So we need to have childlike faith. That's exactly what we need. You see, this boy with a little lunchbox just blows anybody's mind. You put something small in his hands, he makes it big. See, multiplication there. You can trust him. That's the kind of faith that you and I need to have. There was even leftovers, like I said. Can you relate to that little boy? Have you ever been to a point in your life where you're saying, okay, God, this is all I got. But you know what? I'm willing to give it to you. No. Nothing more, nothing less. That's all I got. I give it to you. The willingness to sacrifice. You know why? Because faith requires sacrifice. You have to give up. You have to give up something. In order to believe in him, you have to quit believing in something else or even in yourself. You remember that Jesus told a story about the little widow who came and threw the little pennies. Boom, boom. And when she put the little two pennies, they might have made the loudest noise in that place. Because Jesus said, you see that? That's giving right there. Because she gave everything she had. See the difference? That little bit of that widow, probably, we don't have the story. We don't know what happened to that widow. But if Jesus said that what she done was exercise faith of such that she gave everything, I'm pretty sure that if all the stories were written, we would find somewhere that the little widow that gave everything got everything and buku back. That's the way God works. See? She gave all she had, and God did it. We don't see it, but I'm pretty sure. You can trust God on that. You think about other people who gave God everything they had. This kid, see? The sacrifice. See, sacrifice is going to drive us out of our comfort, but it's going to drive us into his provision, and we can have peace with that. Sacrificial giving, always celebrated in the scriptures, always, always. I want you to think of the beginning, Abel. What was it about Abel's sacrifice? See, what Abel gave meant so much to him. And God knew his heart. And he is praised for that. And he lost his life for that. You see, faith and giving to God, everything you got may require sacrifice. It actually always does. Jesus pointed to so many people that gave it all for him. That's biblical giving. It's sacrifice. If it doesn't hurt you, you didn't give enough. And sometimes, let me tell you what happens. That when you give till it hurts, God turns it into joy in your heart. And then that pain that you felt by giving becomes your rejoicing in giving. Because you learn to be generous as God is generous. You see, the boy didn't feed 5,000 people. No, he didn't. The disciples handed out the food. They didn't feed 5,000 people. Jesus did it. Now, could God use other means? Yeah. Fish and bread could have come raining down on them from the sky. But Jesus decided to use the little boy and his little lunchbox. What do you have? I'm pretty sure it's more than a lunchbox. Put it in Jesus' hands. Because he can do great things with it. You see, the disciples, what did they give? Did they have to pull money out to go buy bread? No, they didn't. All the disciples did was manage what God gave them to expand it to others, to bless others. That's what the church needs to be doing. We need to be about giving, not so much asking. That's the reason why I love preaching on generosity and I love preaching on giving, but not because we need to and we want to get from you anything. Because we want to be able to give and to do in the kingdom of God. It's amazing what God does when we're generous. What an honor it is that God would include you or me in his work. You could be like the child. You could be like Andrew. You could be like Philip. But guess what? They were all included. And somehow, some way, Jesus still made it work. Even with Philip's lack of faith. Even with Andrew's lack of whatever uncertainty that he had. And even with the sacrifice of this kid in believing. So, apart from Jesus' actions, no matter how much the disciples would have done or the kid would have done, they would have gone hungry no matter what. It is the miracle of Jesus in this place that does it all.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart presented, a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.